Henry looked around and said, "I appreciate what you're doing here. Just can't believe it has come to this. I can't believe we are doing this." Henry was deep in thought. "What are we doing, Henry?" He looked up at Henry and continued, "Enjoying each other's company around a campfire?"
"No," said Henry. "That the mightiest nation on earth would fall without firing a single shot. We just rolled over and died. Now we're living in the woods like deer to avoid being taken into slavery. I wish we had nuked them Chinese for doing this to us."
Michael shook his head. The grin was gone. The Chinese didn't do this. They were just looking out for their interests and were doing a better job at it than we were.
Henry looked surprised and said, "Of course they did. How can you say they didn't?"
Michael nodded his head and said, "Yes. Physically, I know the Chinese were there. I know the mechanics of what happened."
"I don't."
The kid looked around at the group. He was surprised as the rest of them that he had said anything. He shrugged his shoulders as he continued, "I don't know what happened. I just woke up one day and everything was falling apart. I know it's my fault. I don't know. I only watched movies on my TV, and if I wasn't doing that, I was playing games on my game box. So what did happen?"
Michael looked at Henry, who signaled for him to do the explanation. Then he said to the kid, "The Chinese, India, and the Arab League formed an alliance, and on June the 3rd, 5 years ago, they flipped a switch and turned us off."
Henry nodded.
"That's a good way to put it."
Michael continued his explanation. "You may or may not know that the overwhelming percentage of our consumable stuff was imported. In one day, all those imports were cut off. The ships bringing those imports were turned around, and before anyone knew what was happening, the stuff already in our ports was loaded back on the ships and sent back. You see, kid, we practice something called just-in-time inventory management. Warehouse space is too expensive, and it takes cash to keep that inventory, so we just made a lot of small orders, and the stuff arrived straight off the boat in time to replace what we just sold off the store shelves."
The kid raised his head and said, "Okay, I get it. With nothing in the back room, the shelves went bare really quick."
Michael nodded. "Yes. And there was a lot of other stuff, like Wall Street moving to London, South America honoring an embargo and deals with countries all over the world that made it obvious that this had been in the planning for a long time."
The kid asked, "Why didn't we just make the stuff?"
"Good question, kid." Michael nodded but looked serious. "What if I ask you to make me a smartphone and have it ready by tomorrow?"
The kid shrugged and said, "I can't do that. I don't have the stuff it takes to make it, and I don't know how to put one together."
"Exactly," Michael nodded. "And what we found out is that the components for a computerized broadloom weaving machine are the same way. When a part broke, we had no spare or way to get one. After a couple of years, you could count the number of those machines still in service on one hand. Broadlooms, bending machines, metal stampers, and milling machines were in the same shape. Without these, there is no carpet, no cars, and almost no fabrication of any kind."
Henry turned and looked at the kid. "It was the perfect storm idea, where everything went together in just the right way to feed on everything else and make the results almost catastrophic. No spare parts meant there were no machines that could make spare parts. Not just manufacturing either. Farming is done by machines, and they apparently break pretty easily."
Michael continued, "The perfect storm is appropriate. The alliance turned us off because of political efforts to level the playing field of international commerce."
Henry jumped in. "Yeah, and then the blame game busted out in Washington. In fact, half of them moved to a convention center on the other side of town, and now they won't even meet with the other members of Congress. That's a lost cause. No help coming from that bunch."
Michael said, "Yes. And the president was trying to deal with Congress, while a group of governors from some eastern states tried to make a separate deal with the alliance. The president responded by locking up a bunch of them. The state police tried to free their leadership, and the Federal Marshal Service put them out of commission, and along with them went most of the police force in most of these states. With the loss of control, the gangs began to flex their muscles. They took by force what was already scarce, and a lot of people joined them to get their share. The final straw was the loss of electricity. Without power, our houses became unlivable, and that brings us to living in the woods.